I'd like to say good evening to you, and sure is good to see you on this cooler night, this cooler time of the year. And it's a special day, October 11th. We got a business meeting tonight, so I just want to remind everybody of that. Maybe there's something else that was supposed to be going on today, too. I've got to remember something. I think maybe it's Brandy's birthday, too, so that's it. I told you I didn't forget. No, I do. Before I forget, I want to invite everybody over to stay over and meet with us in the fellowship hall after the service for a little surprise. So I didn't tell her, so there you go. So that way, looking forward to that. And Brandy said, "You're not going to embarrass me tonight, are you?" And I was like, "Well, not on purpose. I mean, not any more than usual, I don't guess. But yeah, I've always got to tell a story. And when I think of Brandy and birthdays or Brandy and age, I'm only, what, 3 years older than you? 3 years, just a little over 3 years. And very humbling thing, when I first started preaching, we went to different churches and filling in, you know how that is, and filling in things. And we went to a church one Sunday, and before I got stood up to preach, and people were coming and introducing themselves and talking to us and everything, and they said, "And is this your daughter?" And I was like, "Ooh, no, don't let the beard fool you. She's not my daughter." But, you know, it's like, no, but that was kind of funny. We joke about that and keep that going. And had a friend one time told me, he said, "Man," he said, "you married up." I said, "Brother, I wasn't trying to marry down. I'll tell you that." So I feel very blessed and thankful for my wife. And I've said it before, but I mean it with all my heart. I couldn't do hardly anything that I do without her help. She keeps everything on the books, keeps everything going, and I appreciate her and love her, and thankful she's here with us tonight and looking for a good time a little bit later on. We do have a business meeting, so I'll try to be brief with this. We'll cover a lot of information maybe, but I just want to hit the high spots. This is very much like the life of Jacob in the life of Joseph, and I think for us to really kind of talk about it, we kind of have to cover the whole story, glean a little bit from here and there. But if you'd like to, let's turn to Genesis chapter number 50. It's kind of what Hebrews is referencing here, Joseph's end of life. But to really appreciate Joseph, you kind of have to look back on different things that happened during his life. I think you'll really find that he is a Old Testament type of Christ. He was one that was not rebuked in any way. I'm not saying he's perfect or anything like that, but you'll see through the account of his life how he handled situations was in the right way, in the right manner. He put God first, and he chose to follow God through different phases of his life. And, you know, he was tempted. Jesus was tempted, but he sinned not. I mean, Joseph was tempted. One of the situations we'll read about in his life, when he was tempted, he didn't give in to it. And I believe he was probably, from what I heard and reading and doing some studying this week, that maybe around 17 years old at this time. And so that's pretty remarkable that he was even faithful at that young age. But I'll just read the verse to you from Hebrews, but we'll stay primarily here in Genesis. Hebrews 11:22, it says, "By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones." He gave commandment as concerning where he wanted his bones to be delivered after he passed away. Very similar to what his father Jacob did also. They wanted their bones to be taken back to the homeland. And that's, to me, kind of giving maybe a little bit of it away, but to me, that's showing a lot of faith. And talking about it, I know it's different than what we have in the hope of the rapture as the New Testament church and that hope there. But in talking about the resurrection of the body, they wanted their body to be in the homeland. So when the resurrection took place, that they'd already be in the homeland. That's pretty remarkable to me. Somebody that would have that much forethought that even if they passed away or died in a different land, that they'd actually want their body carried back to the homeland and for that hope. And I thought that was very interesting. But here in Genesis chapter number 50, I just want to look at verses 15 through 26, kind of the end here of that chapter. It also ends out the book here of Genesis before they get into Exodus there. But This is the last days of Joseph. It says here, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which he did unto him. We did unto him. So you, and we'll go back over and see some of those things. You know, that was, again, not a smooth sailing family situation. A lot of different things going on there with their brothers, and you'll see a lot of jealousy. You'll see a lot of family feuding taking place. And then I'll just go ahead and I'll just finish reading off the 16 through the latter part of that a little bit later, because I kind of want us to go back and just look at, just go back to Genesis 37. Again, I'm just, honestly, I'm telling you, I'm just going to be hitting the high spots tonight, just kind of pulling out a few things from each of these chapters, and then, but I will challenge you to go back for homework and go back and read 37 all the way back through 50, just through the end of Genesis. Kind of read that and reflect on what this life was like, what Joseph's life was like here. So in chapter 37, you see here, this is the history of Joseph when he started, when after he was born. He was the son of Jacob's old age, and he's Jacob's favorite son. And you know how it is in families, if one is seemingly kind of favored more than the other, they're going to pick up on it, and there's going to be some family feuding and some issues and everything. And Jacob, it was his son, his favorite son of old age, and we all have heard about Joseph's coat of many colors, and Joseph's brothers were very jealous of him. So from the very start, there was issues with Joseph. And even if Joseph, if he would have a dream and he was able to tell people this is what's going to happen. He was talking about how their crops was going to kneel down to his crops, and who would want to hear that? Who would want to take that? And we know as what we've seen with the elders, the older brothers and what have you in the families, that Christ or God chose to go with the second or the younger. He was doing a new thing. He was doing a different thing aside from what was done traditionally. And we see how that came through. So his brothers had finally gotten so jealous of him and so fed up with him that they wanted to get rid of him. They took it to a place where they actually were going to kill him. They thought, no, that's really going to hurt our father if we do that. Well, maybe if we just put him in the pit. Maybe if we can get rid of him that way. And so they found a pit and they captured him. They put him in the pit and left him there. And they thought better of that and then later sold him into slavery. 20 pieces of silver, I believe, is what you'll find. And they sold him. You know, that's also very typical of what happened to our Savior. He was sold for 30 pieces of silver. He was betrayed. You'll see a lot if you go through, and I don't have time. That would be a large study, but a very blessed study to go through and see the different types of things there. And even if you study the life of Jesus as he was young, when people were listening to him in the synagogues, and they were saying, how does he know all these things? How is he that smart? That's Mary's son. That's Joseph's son. He's the son of a carpenter. How does he know all these things? And it's because God was with him. The same thing here with Joseph. The reason that Joseph was so valuable is because the Lord was with him. You'll see at each stage in his life, regardless if it was seemingly on the good side of life or on the bad side of life, that the Lord was with him. When we look at things, and I think we can really pull a lot from this, I think we do gauge things on the easier side of life sometimes, thinking that we're blessed only when things in our minds are going good, but we're blessed because the Lord is with us. Good things are going to happen. Bad things are going to happen, but the blessing comes when we know that the Lord is with us. See, that was the comfort, that was the blessing that Joseph had throughout his life. You see here in Genesis chapter number 39, Joseph was in Egypt at this time, where he'd been captured and sold and traded around, and now he's in Egypt, and he finds himself in the house of Potiphar, and which was a good place to be for him. You know, that was something much better than the pit to be in. But what was really good here for him, and what Potiphar known of Joseph when he spent some time with him, he saw that he was a goodly person. He saw that there was something good about him, that he was well favored, that he was honest in his dealings. You know, today the world might not appreciate, and I thought about it like this, the world might not appreciate Christianity, but they might appreciate somebody that was honest and forthright and maybe a benefit to them. You know, when we witness to people, there's a lot of different ways of doing that. I think a lot of it comes down to how much people trust you before you even start talking about the Bible. If there's some kind of common rapport, and if you can actually do that instead of maybe leading off with something negative, but leading off with something positive and trying to build rapport, because we know where Joseph was from, his family, we know that he was in direct opposition of what Egypt was and what they stood for. But Egypt couldn't help. When you see, we'll see this here a little bit later, Potiphar couldn't help but see how beneficial having somebody like Joseph around was. And I would categorize Joseph as a Christian. Again, being a type of Christ, you see here, how beneficial is it to have Christ around? How beneficial was it when he walked through and he went through the villages and when he was healing people, when he was here and what he did on this earth? But you see here, Joseph again in Egypt, he's with Potiphar. He was a goodly person, and we see what happened with Potiphar's wife and how hard that could have been and how hard that was or could have been for him, and how probably a lot of people would have fallen for that or went along with that. But you know, his testimony, his convictions, his faith in the Lord superseded what the flesh wanted to do. And he's like, no, I'm out of here. I mean, you remember that. That's a remarkable account. I mean, he was trying to do everything right, Brother Dale, and he run and she grabbed his coat, and then that was the evidence held against him. And the only thing that we see that the Bible shows the evidence of is his evidence of haste of getting out of there, shun the very appearance of evil. I don't see Joseph as one that ever put himself in a position to flirt around with sin, kind of dabble in it. I think that's kind of what people could do in this day and time, be a little bit too lax about things. But Joseph, he had his heart in the right place. He had his mind in the right place. He was always about the right kind of business. Jesus, what did he always say? Wished ye not, I must be about my Father's business. He had his mission on his mind. And that's the way you and I should be today. I tell you, we could bypass a lot of troubles and a lot of things just by doing that. But the Lord was with Joseph. That's the keen thing here I want us to remember. The Lord was with Joseph. Everything that we see from here, we'll see that. The Lord calls Joseph to prosper wherever he was. You see how this takes place here. And you go into Genesis chapter number 40. And Joseph ends up in jail here. And he's with the butler and the baker in a jail. Now, I look at it this way, being an officer. A lot of times you would think that if a person is in prison, they're guilty. They've done something wrong. So if they've done something wrong, then they're not right. And so therefore, they've messed up or what have you. But you see here what Joseph done, he was just doing right the whole time. But he was still found himself in prison. But I didn't see Joseph in the readings that I found. I didn't see him throwing a pity party. I didn't see him saying, poor pitiful me, and why did God let this happen to me? He still stayed the track. He still stayed the course. That's very impressive to me. And he found himself with the butler and the baker. And I believe there are some hardships there. Not exactly, again, just hitting the high spots here. And the butler, they had dreams of what was going to take place with their life. They're trying to figure out what is going to happen to them, what is their fate is going to be. One is going to be restored and one is going to be hanged. And so they had dreams. They're like, how can we find out what these dreams mean? In that day and time, that's what foreshadowed and forecasted things, dreams or visions. And so they brought those dreams to Joseph. They said, Joseph said, you know, I can tell you, but it's not me. I can let, if you'll tell me, I can interpret it, but know that it's God that's telling me. It's the Lord that's telling me. It's not me. He never took credit. You know, Jesus, that's how he was. He always gave credit to God the Father. He's always a true servant, very humble, very much, if you study or know anything about servant leadership, that's how Jesus was. He didn't say, I, he did it, and he let the people see it, and that way people could follow that way. But Joseph was with the butler and the baker, and they had their dreams. The butler was to be restored, and the baker was to be hanged. And one of the things he asked, Joseph asked, please remember me when you go back into his house, remember me. And what happened with the butler? He forgot. I guess he's so excited about that he was in the clear and moving forward. He forgot, and he didn't give him a good word. You know, I could say it like this. There's so many different ways you could use the typology of this, but how guilty are we of that when the Lord does something for us? We get excited maybe and kind of move on and just not be so thankful. Just like the one with leprosy, only one came back, 10%. Only 10% of those that were healed came back to say thank you. But we now get up to Genesis chapter number 41, and you see how he's progressing. He was started out in the pit and sold into slavery, ended up in Potiphar's house. Now he's in prison. And now Pharaoh is having the dream, the top person in the land, the president, if you will, the leader, the ruler of the land, is having a dream. And this is very troublesome for them. Remember Nebuchadnezzar, you remember different ones throughout the Old Testament would have dreams or see visions, and they really needed somebody to tell them. And they'd call all the sorcerers, they'd call all the mediums, they'd call all these people in, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't tell them. A lot of times it was off with their head if they couldn't perform and tell them what they needed to know. But it's kind of interesting here that after this kind of happened, the butler kind of remembered Joseph at this point. He's like, now wait a minute, this does sound familiar. I think I do know of one person that might be able to help you. He helped me. He put me at ease. And he helped me. He sought an interpreter, and the butler remembered Joseph. Joseph gives God the credit for his ability again. The Lord was with him. Everything he did, he gave credit. And there's getting ready to be a famine in the land. Wouldn't you like to know beforehand if there's going to be a famine? That's a worldwide thing that was taking place here. That was valuable to the leader of a country, knowing that something was going to happen. So there was going to be 7 years of plentiful times. So that would give you a chance, an opportunity to go in and actually store up things, save up things, pre-plan for this. If they had gone on not knowing what this meant and used up what they had, where would they have been after that? So they prepared heavily on those first 7 years of plenty. And then the 7 years of famine, Pharaoh, he prepared. He made good decisions through what Joseph had shared with him. And at this point, he knew where his help was coming from. Joseph, again, who was hated by his brothers, he was elevated all the way up to the number two spot in Egypt. Now, that's an amazing thing to think about. You look at his humble beginnings, where he came from and how he was hated because his brothers were jealous of him. His brethren didn't care for him. His brethren didn't like what he was about. Now, when you see when Jesus Christ came to this earth, who was it that didn't like him? It was his brethren. They disagreed with him. They hated him. They despised him. They tried to cut him down any way they could. And even the jealousy even shows up, and they're saying, well, he's just a son of a carpenter. How can he know this? He's not smart. He doesn't know these things. You see how this kind of comes along side by side. But what they were able to do, they being Pharaoh in Egypt, what they were able to do with this is to make good decisions. And Joseph elevated him up to the second one in the land. And I believe you'll see here he's about 30 years old. Joseph, he absolutely went up quick. It kind of started out slow, it seems like. But he actually went up quick. And you see his firstborn was Manasseh there in chapter number 41. And then Ephraim, his secondborn, and all the countries of Egypt came. All the other countries came to Egypt to buy their food and buy their necessities. The entire world was in a famine. So not only through the Lord's help with Joseph, not only were they able to secure enough food for Egypt, they had enough food for the whole world. The whole world was coming to them. They were trading horses. I mean, you name it. They were trading everything with them just for the provision that they had. Now, you know, if you're Pharaoh and a worldwide pandemic, a worldwide famine just took place, and this person is feeding you this information and it's good information, that's a pretty big deal. But you see here, the thing about it is it was beneficial to them physically, but where did the help come from? I really don't think that they were just looking at Joseph because he was a Christian. They were looking at him because he was beneficial to them financially. But the reality of it is, if you're with God and you're following him and you're following godly advice, it will be beneficial to you. If they wanted to admit that or not, that's the case. That's the truth of it. And you kind of see how this comes on down here, and I'll hurry along, not planning to take too long tonight. But Genesis chapter number 42, his brothers come to visit him. That's where it gets kind of interesting. You know, you remember how Jacob was kind of a trickster, Joseph's father, how he kind of twisted things around sometimes in his life. But Joseph here, he dealt with it, I guess, delicately, but he also had a little fun with it, so to speak, too, and how he dealt with his brothers. They didn't know who he was. They didn't remember him. They didn't, wasn't able, when they just saw him, to realize who he was. So his brothers come to visit. And we'll see in Genesis 43 how he actually helps his brothers out by kidnapping or having their younger brother Benjamin kind of replayed what they did with him, being the younger son at that time, Jacob, but how they revisited and they took Benjamin and they held him captive until they went back to their fathers and they said, "Hey, you're stealing stuff from Egypt." I'm like, "No, we didn't do that." He's like, "Yeah, you did. Now you're going to leave Benjamin with us and you go back home to your father." And now they're going, how are we going to go back to our father and tell him we lost Benjamin, the other youngest son? You see kind of how these things went back and forth and how it kind of went on there. But he was wise. So it was the second visit there when he went to with his brothers. And on into chapter 43 again, Joseph helps his brothers and he inquires about Jacob. And they wanted to know if he was still alive, and he was. And then I guess it's actually chapter 44 where they put the cup into Benjamin's sack and they keep Benjamin until they're actually able to. Here in chapter number 45, Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. And Pharaoh blesses his family. He reveals to them who he is. And what a relief that is. How hard would that be to say, "Okay, here we are. We thought that we kind of had things squared away. We had rid of Joseph, and now Joseph is our lifeline." Boy, is that not kind of typical of Jesus Christ? You think about how the Jewish people, who is this book, Hebrews, who is this written to? They thought they had rid of him when they turned him over to be crucified. "We're done with him. He's a blasphemer. They're done with him." And then later on realize, he is our lifeline. He is our only hope. How are we going to deal with this? How do we deal with this? And so you kind of see how that is coming to be. And then chapter number 46, actually they're blessed there. And even the Pharaoh of Egypt, he blesses Joseph's family and he lets him go back to see his father. He loads them down with food, with monies and provisions. All that coming from Egypt. And it's amazing how that works out, how God can use a worldly place or use the world to benefit his own people. But it was because somebody was willing to follow him. We're going through chapter number 46, and you see Jacob, he goes to see Joseph and the joyous reunion there. He thought that he had lost his son and he was gone, but he was able to reunite with him. And then 47 and 48, we see the blessing that comes from Pharaoh. How Jacob blesses Pharaoh for allowing him to be reunited with his son, to spend time with him before he goes back home. In turn, Egypt is blessed. And you see how Jacob dies, and Jacob there in chapter number 49, you see Jacob's death and his burial. They take him back to Canaan. That's where he wanted to be buried. That's where he wanted to be for when the resurrection is to take place. And then likewise, Joseph, he follows in that. And that's where I'll come back here to verse number 16 in Genesis 50. But I'll go ahead and read 15 since we're here. "And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, 'Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him.'" He's thinking, this is now all this evil, all these things we've done, we're in the wrong, we know it. And sure enough, after our father has passed away, he's going to return that to us. You know, that's how we would think. That's what we are deserving of. You think about how we treated the Lord and what we did to him and what the nation of Israel, what they did to him, that's what was deserving. But you see how Jesus really is. You see the typology here. "And when they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, 'Thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall they say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespasses of thy brethren and thy sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of God, of thy father.' And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell upon fell down before his face, and they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for I am in the place, for am I in the place of God?" He's saying, "Am I God? Am I your judge?" is what he's saying. "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." You know, church, I was reading that and I was thinking about how the crucifixion was. We see that and how cruel and how hard and 100% unfair that was. What was meant for evil, God meant for good when he sent Jesus to the cross to pay for our sin. Again, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them, and he spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I die, and God will surely visit you." Talking about the promise that was to be continued on through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's again talking about the promise. "God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land, and the land into which he sware unto Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob." And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, "God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry upon my bones from hence. You'll take me back to Canaan also." So Joseph died being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And that was to take him back home. But I tell you, I know that's fast. That's a fast lesson there. But when you see the promise that was given, you imagine what that would mean to somebody, to a Jewish person, what that would mean, the history. If you really start picking out and you see the typology of the people that they looked up to, who that foreshadows, being Jesus, I tell you, it speaks volumes, or it should. It should really mean something to them. But go back, please, and read those chapters and read how it goes and how it takes place, and I think you'll get a blessing out of it. There's a lot there. So I'll stop with that tonight. And